Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What a week four of Big 12 football. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12 Conference. If you are new or you're back, well, and you're not subscribed, make sure that you are right now. This channel is growing because of you every single week, and we're so glad that you're here as a part of the show. What an incredible week four we got in this conference. It was unbelievable. We are starting to see the teams that I believe are going to rise to the top in this conference, and we're starting to see who the teams are that are going to fall to the bottom. So this is already starting to take shape as we head into late September. And let me start off right here and tip my cap to the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You guys are the real deal. Now, to be clear, I picked Texas Tech in the preseason to win the Big 12 Conference. I feel great about that prediction after Saturday. I picked them to lose this game by 1 point in Salt Lake City. That didn't happen. Instead, they pulled away and rolled Utah 34-10. And this is right now, with the eye test, the best team in the Big 12. And I said over the last couple of weeks, they were playing garbage teams. I wanted to see them do it against legit competition. And they pushed around Utah. They beat them in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And they look like a team that is not just able to get to a college football playoff, but can compete and win a game or two and maybe more in a college football playoff. That's what Texas Tech looks like right now. And that's how they played in Salt Lake City against Utah on Saturday afternoon. It was an incredible performance from Joy McGuire's team. And if you are a Texas Tech fan right now, you have got to be pinching yourself over how this team looked on Saturday, because that Utah team may be the second best team in the trenches in the Big 12 with the offensive line and the defensive line. And those Red Raiders wore them down. They pulled away late. They had a couple of those late touchdowns. So the game was closer than 34-10 most of the game. But don't discount those late scores by Texas Tech, because that was proof that Tech just wore down Utah as the afternoon went on. And it's very rare that you see a team wear down Utah in Salt Lake City, which is the loudest stadium in the Big 12 Conference. Going through that game, you know, Baron Morton came out for a couple of plays, goes back in, the Texas Tech quarterback, he gets hurt. Then he gets hurt again, and you know what? I mean, Baron Morton's had his injury issues. That one's totally on him. First off, it was not targeting when he got hurt and left the game for good. The refs picked up that targeting penalty. Good on them. Well done. That was Baron Morton being a dope. It's like he's in this wide open field. He's got all the time in the world to slide, and he like awkwardly falls down on his left side and then gets popped. It's like, dude, what are you doing? And Will Hammond may have very well Wally pipped him. This should be Will Hammond's team going forward. His ability to be dual threat, his accuracy, his poise. He was struggling a little bit with the snap count, and that was on the entire offense. They didn't switch to the silent snap as soon as I thought they were going to. But outside of that, Will Hammond looks like the kind of guy who has a higher ceiling than Baron Morton, who can be the guy that with more reps, with more experience, with more starts under his belt, actually makes this team better. Baron Morton may be the safer bet, but as long as I've got this hot hand in Will Hammond, he deserves, no matter what happens, he deserves to start in a couple of weeks against Houston. I think he earned that on Saturday in Salt Lake City. So that's how good he looked. And then the defense for Texas Tech was tremendous as well. I mean, they kept Utah in check. Devin Dampier really never got it going. And I don't want to overreact to this game and be like, man, Devin Dampier can't take that step to the Power Four. I think he ran into an outstanding defense. I think that's what this was for Utah and Dampier. He wasn't great at all. I mean, he missed a lot of throws. He wasn't his usual self running the ball. I also thought that the offense looked awfully stale at times for Utah. They weren't all that creative to me. They didn't really mix it up. But still, I'm not going to overreact on Utah's end because of what just happened against Texas Tech. I just think that Texas Tech is that good, is that sound, especially on both sides of the line. And that ultimately was the difference in this game. Utah's defense is going to be stout. I believe they're going to win a bunch of games in this league. And my preseason prediction was Texas Tech over Utah in the Big 12 championship game. And you know what? I have no reason to go off of that prediction right now based on what's transpired the first couple of weeks of the season. So if you're just joining us, please do make sure that you are subscribed here on the channel. We would be grateful if you would do that on heartlandcollegesports.com. That would mean the world to us. If you would do that and hit the like button, make sure that you are subscribed right now, because those things are things that YouTube likes. And if you're on the podcast channel, please leave a 5-star rating and review on the podcast. That makes a big difference as well as we continue to grow the show. So thank you guys. We're so grateful you're here, and we've got much more coming your way here on the show. So let's get to the other big game on Saturday. What do you say we do that here? All right, let's get to Arizona State and Baylor. So this game picked up in the fourth quarter. Both teams ended up going up and down the field with a couple of big scores. And the difference that I look at in this game is in the turnovers. Baylor had three, and that ultimately cost them 9 points. Arizona State scored a field goal on each one of the turnovers that Baylor had. One was a Sawyer Robertson interception. The other two were Josh Cameron fumbles. And it was fairly unusual, but also it's like, man, you just can't allow that to happen. I thought the Baylor defense actually held its own fairly well until late. And late is when Sam Levitt had a couple of bigger runs, and Sam Levitt had the open field in front of him. And that reminded me somewhat of the Auburn game in week one for Baylor. So that was concerning to watch that. And I was like, man, this feels like Auburn all over again in some respects. But Baylor's defense was playing well all game. And then came the fourth quarter. And that's when Levitt got a little more comfortable. That's when he started using his legs a little bit more. And that was in many ways the difference in this game. And Sawyer Robertson also was not as good as I expected him to be, or frankly that he needed to be, to win this game, especially based on the standards that he had built up for himself over these first couple of weeks. So I thought Robertson seemed a little bit off his game on Saturday, especially in front of the home crowd. That was something to me that I was watching this game and saying to myself, man, Sawyer, he had to play better for Baylor to beat the defending Big 12 champs. And he simply didn't do it. And you saw Sam Levitt and his leadership towards the end of that game basically be the difference maker here on Saturday on the road. I mean, that big touchdown pass in the left corner of the end zone to put him up against Baylor with Jordan Tyson, where Jordan Tyson climbs the ladder in the front left corner, makes a great catch. But you know what? The poise of Sam Levitt got him to that point. He did not flinch under pressure on the road in a tough environment in Waco at night. And he led his team methodically down the field, especially when they needed it, when the scoring was picking up in that fourth quarter, whether it was the 7-play, 84-yard touchdown drive or the eventual game winner. which resulted in a walk-off field goal for Arizona State in that 27-24 win over Baylor. So to me, this is all about the difference at quarterback. Levitt was better, fewer mistakes. And on top of that, I also came away pretty impressed with Arizona State's defense in this game. At every level, they had multiple key passes defended. They had a couple of sacks, several tackles for loss. Bryson Washington had a good game, but it wasn't tremendous. He had one big run. Outside of that, he was kept in relative check. So the Baylor offense had to be better. I just didn't think that if you told me that Baylor was going to score 24 points, I would have told you they were going to lose. Because as much as Baylor's defense was better in this game, I never thought that 24 points was going to get it done against Arizona State. And you continue to see good output in that backfield. Relique Brown is doing a really nice job for Arizona State in the running game. He's not Cam Scataboo, okay? Although he has a little bit of dual threat ability with catching the ball to the backfield and running the ball. He's not Cam Scataboo, but they've got more bodies back there where they can get it done. So it was a really good win for Arizona State as they start their Big 12 title defense. And now you look at this game and you say, Baylor's 2-2. Dave Aranda's going to start catching some heat again if they don't get this thing going, even though that's a tough loss. He's going to catch some heat, fair or not. And they're going to have to turn around the season real fast. They're not going to have a choice. Next up, let's talk about West Virginia getting blown out at Kansas, shall we? I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thank you for being here as always. Well, Kansas was ticked coming off of that bye week after a loss to Missouri where they led by 15 points in the first quarter and then blew the game. And West Virginia looked like a team that was coming off a season and program defining win. That's what each team looked like. And I understand West Virginia fans were on cloud nine beating Pitt. But this still could be a very long season for WVU. You know, they've got a problem here at quarterback in West Virginia. I'm not convinced Nico Markiel can be that guy that Rich Rodriguez needs him to be in his system. But Jalen Henderson, who bailed him out and played a bunch of this game as the backup quarterback, has good wheels, although a lot of it came in garbage time. However, I'm not convinced he can throw the ball. I'm not convinced they trust him to throw the ball. And that creates an issue for Rich Rodriguez and what he does moving forward at that position. But this game was really about Kansas, and this is the Kansas team that looks like it can compete near the top of the Big 12. LeSean Williams had himself an incredible day in the backfield. 19 carries, 129 yards, and a score. And here's another guy who, under the radar transfer, comes over from Iowa after not playing much in 2024, decides he's coming down to KU after an 800-yard season in 2023, and now this guy looks like an absolute stud. And you've seen flashes of it throughout the start of the season, but that was really a breakout game for him on Saturday. And it was just fantastic to watch, and he needed that. I think the Kansas offense desperately needed that as well, because this is a team that's, it just can't be out of the backfield all Jalen Daniels. You need other bodies to step up. And that is what you saw with LeSean Williams on Saturday, who really can become that workhorse dude. He was that at Iowa. You combine him with Daniel Hyshaw, who's proven he can be that guy. Although Hyshaw feels, and I don't mean this as an insult, he doesn't necessarily feel like the workhorse number one. He feels like a great number two or 1A, whatever you want to call it, for any team. But if you can just ride a hot hand between Daniel Hyshaw and LeSean Williams, you got something going there if you're Lance Leipold and that KU offense, because you don't want Jalen Daniels to have to be the guy that is out there every single time, not just obviously having to make plays with his arm, but having to make plays with his legs. You want to limit that as much as possible. And Daniels did plenty with his legs, had a few carries and 70 some odd rushing yards. So he had himself a good game. And, you know, he threw three touchdown passes, 12 of 24. So the completion rate wasn't great, but he was very effective at quarterback. And they got this thing rolling real early, and they just didn't look back. I mean, they forced a three and out. They scored a touchdown on their first drive. And right away, after Jalen Daniels connects with Levi Wentz, you feel like this game is just going to be all KU. And then, yes, there were, you know, they exchanged a bunch of punts after that. The game did slow down for a bunch of the first quarter. But West Virginia was going nowhere. And that's where I actually think the West Virginia defense, I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack, because the offense gave them nothing to work with. They were three and out, three and out, three and out. It felt like throughout a lot of that first half. And that's just going to wear down a defense. Never mind a defense that has to figure out how to slow down Jalen Daniels, of all people. That's not easy. That's not something that you just do and magically Jalen Daniels is slowed down. Not with his legs. Not with that guy moving around the pocket. That is a difficult task for any defense. Never mind a defense that is being thrown out there every few minutes because your offense can't get a first down. So this looked like a total hangover game for West Virginia. And Kansas looked fresh as could be. They looked ticked off after having the week off and having to simmer and sit on that Missouri loss. And I really do believe in what Kansas is doing this year and how in a wide open Big 12, as much as I think that it's Texas Tech right now, and I don't think that there's necessarily an obvious number two, I think that Kansas is one of these teams that can look at themselves and say, why not us? Kansas, I think, could make that case. You know, Iowa State can make that case. Utah, BYU can make that case. TCU can make that case. There are multiple teams that can make that case. But I do think that gap, as I see it, currently exists between Texas Tech and the rest of the pack in the Big 12 Conference right now. So great win by Kansas. They rolled to a victory, and it was a darn impressive one as well for KU in front of that home crowd. So next up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Let's give some love here, shall we? Because I know some of you are waiting for it. Let's give some love to UCF. UCF fans think that I don't like them. I don't think they're going to do well. I don't think they're going to be very good. I still wonder how good they can be. But I will say, they really impressed me on Saturday. Had a week off, welcomed in Bill Belichick in North Carolina. And what impressed me the most was this defense. You kept North Carolina in check, 2.5 rushing yards per carry. Tackles for loss, sacks. I mean, these guys were flying all over the field. Every time I looked up, I saw number 20. I'm like, dang, who's this? Oh, it's Lewis Carter. Every single time I saw this dude on Saturday making a big time play. And if you remember that name, that's because he is a transfer from the University of Oklahoma. So good on him. He had a great game on Saturday, led the team in tackles, and was just absolutely tremendous. And it was the UCF defensive performance that impressed me the most. Yes, Taven Jackson looks like he can be the dude and should be the guy at quarterback for UCF going forward. I would not go to Ja'Kari Brown. I wouldn't even go back to the guy from week one that I'm forgetting. Taven Jackson from Indiana's your dude. He was solid on Saturday against a Bill Belichick coach defense, passing the ball, and he's got great dual threat ability. And they did it without Miles Montgomery having a big game. I mean, I said earlier in the season, I thought that this team would go as far as Miles Montgomery would take him. But now it looks like the defense combined with Taven Jackson can actually do the job. Not that I think that UNC's offense is anything special. We saw them get crushed by TCU. They've now been blasted by UCF. But still, I mean, it's a Power Four team with a Hall of Fame head coach, right, who has talent on both sides of the ball. He brought in talent in the transfer portal. So this is a guy who's more than capable of coaching these players up, and a few weeks later, they don't look any better than they did against TCU in week one. I just don't have it. So I was very impressed with UCF. To all my UCF friends, followers, listeners, viewers, all I'm asking you guys to do now, I'm giving you love. I really, really respect the performance on Saturday by Scott Frost's team. And now if you're here joining us as a UCF fan, what do you say? Subscribe to the channel. But of course, that's the case even if you're not a UCF fan, all right? Just subscribe, join us here on Heartland College Sports, and we're glad you're here, as always, as a part of the show. Tremendous stuff. So congratulations to UCF. And suddenly, the UCF game coming up next week against Kansas State is fascinating. Kansas State is in the dumpster. They've had a week off to try to figure it out. But with the way UCF is playing, I'm looking at that game and saying to myself, you know, do not overlook this one, Wildcats fans. You probably chalked this up in the preseason as an easy win on the schedule. I don't think it's going to be easy if you're going to win this game at all. All right? Let's talk about the, let's see, where do we want to go next? All right. Let's do TCU-SMU. Iron Skillet. TCU wins the game 35-24 over SMU. SMU now has two losses to Big 12 teams this year, Baylor and TCU on Saturday. And, you know, for me, this game was all about Josh Hoover and Eric McAllister. So this game's going on during Texas Tech and Utah. So I'm trying to watch these games at the same time. And every time I look up at TCU, I see Eric McAllister making a play. And I'm like, are they showing a replay of Eric McAllister? Like the last big play he had? Oh, no. Eric McAllister just made another play? Really? Another play for Eric McAllister just now? He was unbelievable. He had 254 receiving yards and three touchdowns. I mean, this was not an FCS opponent. This was a team that was in the college football playoff last year. Josh Hoover throws for a career-high five touchdowns. They handle SMU with relative ease. It's the last scheduled game between the former rivals, or former Southwest Conference rivals, I should say. And I don't like that at all. This game should be on the calendar to me every single year. This is when college football is at its best. SMU, TCU should be playing. I know that there is a sentiment out there amongst TCU fans that this game does more for SMU than it does for TCU. You could make that case about any rivalry. You could say, well, A&M and Texas, same thing. A&M can get a lot more out of it than Texas. You could say this about Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I mean, we could go on and on. This is college football at its best. When two rivals are playing against each other, in this case, it would have to be a non-conference. I think this game should stay, especially since SMU is, you know, legit now as an ACC opponent that's been in a college football playoff. I actually think of all the rivalries out there, TCU-SMU is one that works out pretty darn well for both teams. It's not one of these big brother, little brother situations. I mean, over the history of these two programs, there have been different points in time when SMU's been top dog, TCU's been top dog. Right now, they feel pretty balanced to me. So I keep this thing going if you could, but looks like it's not going to happen. They played 104 out of the last 110 years. And now that's going to end, which is too bad. But anyway, the offense was unbelievable. Eric McAllister was great. Josh Hoover did his thing. Listen, Josh Hoover, to me, I said it. He's the best quarterback in the Big 12 coming into the season. I'll stand by it. And frankly, he can take this team awfully far. And now they go to Arizona State on Friday night in Tempe for what is going to be an incredibly important matchup when you talk about the Big 12. Arizona State's got that win from last week over Baylor. TCU is sitting there at 3-0, getting set to start its conference play this Friday night. This is going to be an awesome game. 8 o'clock Central Time kickoff on Fox. So that is a game that we would expect to have a lot of meaning before the season, but it feels like it has even more now based on just how good TCU has looked early in this season against SMU and against UNC. They're one of the few teams playing 11 Power 4 games on a schedule. So they get a lot of credit for doing that. They played 11 Power 4 teams, two in the non-conference, and they're not slouches. Now, UNC may end up stinking, but still, you had Bill Belichick on the road in his coaching debut in college. That place was going nuts. Now you've beat SMU, who was in a college football playoff last year. That's worth something. And if the defense continues to apply this bend but don't break mentality, get a couple of key turnovers, which they did on Saturday, this team can go far. And I like a lot of what I've seen from them so far this season. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Jamal Johnson had a couple of interceptions, and you know what? You make those kind of plays for this offense, TCU can go places this year. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I want to touch on BYU. I gave you one of my locks was BYU minus the 6.5 against East Carolina, and they proved me right on Saturday, 34-13 win for the Cougars. I said the defense was going to be stout. I thought the offense would more than hold its own. And you know what? We got a damn good passing performance from Bear Bachmeier, the freshman quarterback. That's a tough road environment by Group of Five standards. And Bear Bachmeier was poised. He, you know, didn't have any big-time mistakes that put this game at all in jeopardy. He had a rushing touchdown. He's good down by that goal line. We know that's where BYU is going to use him. LJ Martin did his part as well. And then you had a couple of big plays from veterans like Chase Roberts, and BYU was off to the races. So this defense is just fantastic. And it caused a lot of issues for the East Carolina passing attack. The rushing game really never got going. I can think of one big run of more than 10 yards for East Carolina on Saturday watching that game. And listen, BYU, I don't want to spoil anything, but BYU is going to be flying up my power rankings this week because this is an underrated road win for any Big 12 team, but certainly BYU. A real good test on the road with a true freshman quarterback, and they passed with flying colors. And the defense was absolutely fantastic. Watching these guys all over the field on Saturday was just a pleasure. It's what we expected, but man, I mean, Jack Kelly had himself a great game. He continues to improve, and I continue to see his name pop up week after week at linebacker. So you've just got veteran guys who understand the system, love BYU. That defense has a chip on its shoulder. It's nasty, and it is going to be a very difficult team for anybody in the Big 12 to get by this season. I really like what I've seen from BYU, and that test on Saturday was a big one to pass. So congratulations to the Cougars getting a very solid win. And now they go to Colorado next week. It's a late kick, 9:15 Central. That's going to be on ESPN. So that'll get a lot of eyeballs in that time slot for ESPN. And it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch that one play out as well. I just can't wait. You know what? I have to give a shout out because he was tremendous on Saturday night. Evan Johnson. That pick six before halftime really felt like it flipped its game on its head. East Carolina was hanging in there. They're hanging in there. It's a 6-3 game. They're deep in their own territory right before halftime. They want to get something on the board down by three as an underdog. And Evan Johnson says, "Not so fast, my friend." And he just jumps the route. He saw that thing beautifully and scampered into the end zone from a couple of yards out. And it's just plays like that, man, that when you watch BYU, they're opportunistic, they're smart, they keep that head on a swivel, and they don't take any plays off. And that was a prime example. They weren't like, hey, let's just get to the locker room with a 3-point lead. They were trying to make a play. And that's exactly what Evan Johnson did. Another guy, upperclassman, been around the program, gotten some reps, gotten some playing time, and now the cornerback from California is ready to make his mark. And he certainly made that mark on Saturday night. Great job by him. So shout out to Evan Johnson for the great game for BYU. Let's dive into what is left on the rundown here. Oh, Colorado and Wyoming in the late game. So I missed out on this pick. I was on Wyoming. And if you told me that Wyoming would put 20 points on the board, I would have felt good about my plus 13 and a half. But they got Caden Salter back in at quarterback, and he looked like a different dude. He looked like the guy that we all thought he was capable of being. Now, maybe this says more about Wyoming. I don't know. But Caden Salter, of course, the transfer that came in from Liberty with a lot of preseason hype, looked like the guy that Coach Prime and a lot of people said he was going to be. Threw for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, ran for 86 yards, led the team in rushing, and overall he was really solid. The defensive line looked better as well for Colorado. Now, once again, I don't want to overreact to Wyoming, who had just lost to Utah the week prior, 31-6. But all in all, you know, you see like Arden Walker had himself a big game. He's been with the program for a couple of years, but he's having a breakout season, I would say, compared to what he's done the last couple of years. And he had a couple of sacks. I saw him in the backfield a couple of times, knocked a pass or two down. He was really good on Saturday night. So these kinds of players are making their mark, and that is what's going to have to happen for Colorado to stay competitive this year. These are the guys that are going to have to make a difference. If they are going to be competitive, it's not going to be because a Travis Hunter or a Shedeur Sanders saves them. That's just not what's going to happen. So we'll see if they're capable of doing that. But, you know, there were times, too, when Caden Salter tried to do too much. Player two in the first half stood out to me where he was running for his life, and he took just a major sack. I want to say it was like a 10-plus yard sack. You can't be doing that, all right? You just can't do it. But for Colorado, they needed this kind of a bounce-back game to feel good about themselves after the way the first 3 weeks had gone with losses to Georgia Tech and then to Houston. So now they have BYU on Saturday. That's a totally different beast. But from a feel-good perspective, Colorado got what it desperately needed on Saturday, and that was just to feel good about a win, get that victory, get out of non-conference play 2-1, 2-2 overall, of course, and move back into Big 12 play. And that is what Colorado did with their 37-20 win over Wyoming. I did talk about Oklahoma State in a special Friday night podcast. If you missed that, that's why you have to be subscribed. It's also on the YouTube channel. We talked about Mike Gundy, what a mess that program is right now, and the fact that Mike Gundy might be a dead man walking. Mike Gundy may not be able to save his job at this point after that loss to Tulsa on Friday night. So we did cover that game extensively on Friday. So make sure you're subscribed, podcast or YouTube. Go back, watch that show. We talked a lot about Gundy and what his future may hold. But I don't think it's good at all right now in Stillwater. In fact, I don't see how Gundy gets out of this thing. They may let him coach out the season because he's a legend there. He's earned that right. And frankly, I think the guy that they want, Zach Robinson, is right now the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. So he's not done anytime soon. So you might as well keep what you got. But there's nothing to suggest that Mike Gundy can turn this thing around based on what I've seen through these last couple of weeks, frankly, dating back to last season. Mike Gundy is now 1-11 in his last 12 games coached, and that one win is against UT Martin. He's 0-11 against FBS opponents. That is absolutely brutal. And with that, we are wrapped up. Thank you guys for being here. Hey, please, before you head out, subscribe. Makes the world a difference to us. Hit the like button on this video right now as you're watching it. That's all we ask. All our content's free. We just want to keep building it, getting in front of more people, and that's how you can help us. Of course, sharing it as well with some friends and family. Have a great rest of your weekend. We will talk to you soon here on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great rest of your day.
The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.